Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now our guest is Mark Tooley, who's the president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy. Their website is IRD.org. And we're going to talk about how George Washington's adopted church for the last decade or so of his life, Christ Episcopal Church in Alexandria, Virginia, has now decided to remove a plaque with George Washington's name on it. Partly they blame it on the fact that there's a similar plaque made of marble with Robert E. Lee's name. And both of those, august gentlemen went to that church. Mark, welcome to the program. And I understand you yourself go to that church at least for Christmas Eve services.
Yes, about once a year. I always enjoy it. Has one of the best Christmas Eve services anywhere.
Yeah, I believe it. It's a beautiful church, and I've been there. And did Robert E. Lee's presence there and the fact that there's a plaque to him, is that why they decided to remove the plaque not only of him, because he's so out of fashion today, but also that of George Washington because of the Robert E. Lee plaque? Explain this. What's going on?
Well, they didn't fully explain it in their public statements, but I believe it's likely that if it were only Washington by himself, he may have been left alone. But the two plaques were symmetrically mounted on either side of the front of the church at the same time in the 1870s. Hmm. And I think they felt that if they removed one, they were bound to remove the other. But in their public statements, they explained that both might make persons coming to the church feel unwelcome.
That's interesting. I mean, most people don't even read that stuff. And I understand part of their whole point is, look, this is a house of worship. And by the way, this is important to point out. This is a private entity that is a, you know, private individual congregation making this decision. It's not the government that's deciding this. But one of the things they said is, look, this is a house of worship. It's not a museum. And I don't want to sound like a braggart or anything, but I had the privilege within the last month or so to actually worship in the Westminster Abbey. And Westminster Abbey is both. It's a house of worship, absolutely, but it's like a museum too. I mean, you look over and there's a plaque for this and there's a statue of Gladstone over there, you know, et cetera. So why can't we love them both, you know?
Well, that's a very important point that, the abbey you visited, as many churches in Britain and throughout Europe, if they're centuries old, the history is reflected in them, and they have references, and they honor personages associated with the church or with the nation's history who were themselves not always entirely admirable, but nonetheless they are woven into the tapestry of the history of the church, and the same could be said of Lee and Washington at Christ Church, in that Christ Church is best known, especially as Washington's church, and secondarily as Lee's church.
Yeah, and Washington had his funeral, was performed there. I mean, he was there for about 10 years. Now, he has his own pew, and there is a marker at the pew for George Washington's church at Christ Church. Is that going away too, or it's just the marble plaque that's similar to the one of Robert E. Lee?
His funeral was actually at a Presbyterian church. Christ Church at the time, during the winter of Washington's death, was considered kind of out there and hard to access in bad weather.
Oh, no, but there's a plaque when you first come in to Christ Church Episcopal. Yeah. You first come in, and there's a plaque about his funeral, and I had the impression that's where the funeral was. So I must be wrong, but there was something related to, you know, honoring him in his death at that time.
You are correct. That's there at the entrance of the church, and I believe it lists his pallbearers, some of whom came from the church, but the funeral was not physically at his church.
The funeral was at
he does have a box there with a plaque describing it as his box, and Lee's pew is also marked as his pew, and there's another plaque at the altar signifying where Lee was confirmed into the church in middle age in the 1850s. So according to public statements from the church, those very small plaques will remain as markers.
What do you think is going on here with all this kind of, attack against our history and our heritage. And with Robert E. Lee, I can understand in the sense that he was fighting for the South, but, you know, in reality, Robert E. Lee, if he had just been born a few miles north, would have fought, you know, for the North. It was like, as Dinesh D'Souza put it, he didn't want to kill all of his relatives.
Well, obviously, this is the fashion now, and an Episcopal church named for him, where he spent his final years as president of Washington, now Washington Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, just a month or two ago, changed its name, so it's no longer the Robert E. Lee Church. So the fact that the Episcopal Church, of course, is fairly liberal in its politics and theology, so it's more vulnerable to cultural trends than many other churches would be. And this idea that tearing away the memories and the honors attributed to persons like Lee and Washington will make the churches more welcoming has to bring a smile to your face, in that these churches are themselves shrinking, arguably dying, and almost certainly they're removing previously mostly ignored marble tablets will not play any role in reviving them. And in fact, the removals and the obsession with this issue only is an indication of and a contributing factor to their ongoing decline.
Okay, explain about the ongoing decline. And by the way, I think this is true of a lot of mainstream churches, which is not the same as evangelical churches.
Right. So all of the mainline Protestant denominations have been losing members since the mid-1960s, and typically they have lost between 30 to 60% of their membership. The Episcopal Church has lost, I believe, at least a third, approaching 40% of its membership. And it could be argued, and I do so argue, that their theological laxity has played a central role in their decline, in that they do not have a coherent theology, and there's no compelling reason for persons to attach themselves to those denominations any longer, and therefore they have become mostly places for older people who are there because of their own lifelong involvement with, and even family histories that date back generations. But these denominations and churches like Christ Church are typically not capable of attracting new or younger people or persons who are not white Anglos, in that all these mainline Protestant denominations are 90 to 95% white. And obviously, with the changing demographics in America, it's very difficult to survive with an inability to appeal outside of that demographic.
You know, think about the irony of that. I mean, here, the overall issue here is that they're saying that because of the acknowledgement of Robert E. Lee, because of the acknowledgement of George Washington, and the slavery issue, I mean, that's ultimately what this gets back to, right? And so they're saying because of that, people are not welcome here at this church. We want to be inclusive. We don't want to be exclusive. And yet you're saying in reality, the church we're talking about here, not just this particular congregation, but many of these Episcopal churches are, you know, basically it's a lot of old white people is basically what you're saying.
Yes, upper middle class and wealthy, older white people. And so typically these types of pronouncements or actions are they're coming from liberal older white people to appeal to other liberal older white people.
Yeah.
So essentially they're speaking to each other.
Well, it's like the people from the church explained why they were removing these plaques. They said at the end of the day, they said all are welcome, no exceptions. Well, so do you think as we go forward, we're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff, this you know, chipping away at the heritage?
Unfortunately, likely so, but hopefully there will also be a reaction and a backlash and a rediscovery that churches are in fact rooted in history. They can't just be completely beholden to a contemporary fashion.
Yeah.
And I hope that another generation will come to that realization before it's too late.
You know, okay, I've been to Christ Episcopal Church. I've been there. I went there with Dr. Peter Lilback. We wrote a book together about the faith of George Washington. Okay, you go there, and you see on the wall, writing on the wall, which is true of all these other churches that George Washington often worshipped at, Episcopal churches, where they would have, and there's even a name for this. It's called a reredos, R-E-R-E-D-O-S. And it's writing on the walls because not everybody had the books and the papers and so forth. So they would have the Apostles' Creed, they'd have the Lord's Prayer, and they'd have the Ten Commandments. And in the case of Christ Episcopal Church, they also have the Golden Rule, which a lot of people don't realize comes from Jesus, which is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. But, you know, those are politically incorrect, you know, when you get down to it. I mean, let's face it, in the Apostles' Creed, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the only Savior that God sent to man, you know, to save our souls. You know, eventually, are they going to sandblast those words too because, you know, they want to stick with the fashions of the day?
Well, that's exactly the problem. And needless to say, Christ Church, like its denomination, is accepting of same-sex marriage and is more liberal theologically. And so this removal of these historic plaques is just emblematic of a larger discomfort with the history of that congregation and of the church itself.
You know, the incredible irony, though, of this about Christ Episcopal Church in Alexandria, Virginia, is that they probably have a lot of people that visit it precisely because of George Washington's link to that church. That's George Washington's church the last, you know, decade of his life, for all practical purposes. Why would they be so, you know, short-sighted, in my opinion, to cut themselves off from the very thing that attracts people to see them?
Well, you're exactly right, and they themselves on their own website highlight that in the front page, that they are Washington's church. And certainly they have many visitors who would not otherwise be there because of that historical connection and a very historic town. So it does seem self-destructive, and it could be argued that the whole trajectory of liberal Protestantism over the last 50 years or more has been self-destructive. And often those who are pushing these policies that are so self-destructive take pride in the fact that they are making great sacrifice in their pursuit of what they believe is justice.
Now, you use a phrase in an article you wrote about this incident, Manichaean caricatures. Can you explain what that means and how does that apply in this case?
Well, simply that this very hyperbolic historical revisionism tends to be often Manichaean in dividing history between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And anyone in any way associated with slavery is by definition with the forces of darkness and must be thoroughly denounced.
Okay, so, and Washington is denounced that way, even though he freed the slaves that he inherited and so forth. And he was the only president, by the way, who owned slaves that that did that. And there were nine presidents that owned slaves. You know, I'm sure eventually, if this thing keeps going, you know, Thomas Jefferson's next, James Madison, James Monroe, you know, certainly Andrew Jackson. Look at the way he came out in Dinesh D'Souza's movie. Well, we have enough time for a 30-second concluding thought from you about this removing George Washington's name from his own church.
Well, I've made the point that typically Christianity has judged human lives based on the overall trajectory and how they end, not exclusively by the sins of the early life. And Washington, of course, as you mentioned, came to a view that was anti-slavery and freed his slaves, a very dramatic action, very unusual in his time and place. And, of course, Lee himself surrendered relatively graciously and devoted himself to national reconciliation and to education and which certainly was admirable. So certainly those aspects of their lives merit commemoration and honoring.
All right, Mark Tooley, thank you so much for joining us. IRD.org for more information. All the best to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.